from the historic Corpus Christi Cathedral in Corpus Christi, Texas. We invite you to celebrate with us the sacred mysteries, listening to God's Word, and partaking in spiritual communion. Welcome to the Holy Mass.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, my sisters and brothers. We begin our final journey toward the Paschal Mysteries in this fifth week of Lent. So let us begin our Eucharist this morning, calling to mind again our sins and asking God's mercy and forgiveness so that we may prepare to celebrate these sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Thank you.
Let us pray. By your help, we beseech you, Lord our God, may we walk eagerly in the same charity with which, out of love for the world, your Son handed himself over to death. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army, till they lie prostrate together, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make way, in the wasteland rivers. Wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches, for I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead, it is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
From the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord.
Once again, good morning to all of you and to those listening and watching by streaming or television. We come together as the people of God, as the crowds did in the time of Jesus and in the gospel that we had, to listen to the Word of God, to listen to how it penetrates into our own life or how it does not penetrate. When I was a young priest, there was a gospel that obviously comes up every 3 years, and I always had difficulty how to present it. When Jesus said, "Tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you do." Those are strong words for those of us that feel that we're close to God. We say our prayers, our rosary, we come to Mass, we go to confession. But those are strong words, and it's the words that we all have to look at and examine ourselves on. Jesus was not talking about them entering the kingdom of God because they were tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. But if we listen, it was because for the very fact that they heard the Word of God and changed. They were converted. And I have to admit, as I do grow older and hopefully a little bit wiser, I can see that in my own life and in people's lives, that the more we listen to the Word of God and act on it, conversion is something that is essential to our life and to our spiritual life. Many of us can get stuck in our self-righteousness and justice. And to God, that is perhaps the most difficult thing that he had to deal with, and something that he dealt with, Jesus did, with the scribes and the Pharisees forever. People who knew it all, had read all the books, had all the knowledge, and had all the condemnation of the others as well. Those that had the plank in their own eye, but could not see the splint, but could not see their own plank, but the splinter in others. It's an attitude that we as religious people can easily fall into. We must remain always in front of God, humble. We don't know it all. No matter how many books we've read, no matter how many degrees we have, no matter how many classes we've attended, no matter how many times we practice our faith in so many ways, we have to be careful, because we will never know it all, because God is infinite. And when we speak of the infinite mercy of God, the infinite goodness of God, we have no idea how to embrace that. And that's why we listen to the gospel. That's why we open our hearts to what Jesus says and what he did. This fifth Sunday, preparing for the fifth week, the final full week of Lent, we're presented with another gospel similar to the one of last week, although last week was a parable of the loving and merciful Father in front of the prodigal son. That strong image of one son who goes off and squanders everything on loose living, and the attitude of the Father when he returns converted, humble, and asked for forgiveness. But we also see again the other son, who was faithful, never did anything wrong, and the hardness of his heart. He had a plank in his eye, but he saw the splinter in his brother's. And today we are presented with that incredible scene of the scribes and the Pharisees again trying to trick Jesus so they could lock him up, shut him up, keep his mouth closed. Today we have in this scene of the woman caught in adultery similar components of people as we did in last Sunday's. We have the woman that needed mercy as the prodigal son. We have the righteous scribes and Pharisees who wanted to condemn and stone and kill her, in some ways representing the older son in last week's gospel. And we have Jesus, the incarnate mercy of God, depicted in the merciful Father. It's a scene that continues to repeat itself in life and also in our own life, and that's why we need to listen to these. Jesus is not speaking to just that crowd that was there. Jesus came for all times, the beginning and the end, the infinite presence of God in our life. And so this gospel, as all of them, speak to us. The scribes and the Pharisees, they took an attitude of anger and hostility toward this woman. Many of the commentaries were saying they weren't really worried about the woman, they were trying to trick Jesus. And so they went and found a woman in this situation and they brought her to Jesus. They were hiding behind the law of Moses. They were justified because there was something in the gospel, in the law of Moses, which said that a person in that situation should be stoned. But they also ignored, this is where we pick and choose, how many times, especially the Gospel of Mark quotes Hosea, that it's mercy that God wants. God wants mercy and not just burnt offerings. It's mercy I want, not sacrifice. And so the scribes and the Pharisees were on shaky ground in front of God, in front of Jesus. Jesus, on the other hand, another component of this scene, intervened. And he shamed them in their trap. He approached the woman differently, not with anger, not with hostility, but he approached the woman and intervened between the scribes and the Pharisees and her. And he said those words, "Any of you who have no sin, throw the first stone." That's also said to us as we deal with people, with one another. Jesus had the attitude of God, mercy. He listened to her with no stones, but with compassion. And that's why he said to her when they put their stones down and walked away, "Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir." Neither do I. "But go and do not commit this sin again." Again, Jesus was not condoning her activity, not condoning her sin, but calling her to a conversion, calling her to freedom, calling her to a life that is full of joy and peace and service. Where she was not in that, but he wanted more of her not because he did, but because every life has the potential of that joy and freedom. And that's what he wanted for her. There were also, though, today I want to acknowledge the crowds that were watching the whole scene. Sometimes we get focused in these events on the player, the main players. But look at the crowds. They were already gathered around Jesus. For what reason? To listen to him, to learn from him, to be enriched in their life and converted in their life. They had heard words. Now they see action. They saw in that one scene the true character of God. God who intervenes, but also God who forgives and calls to conversion. And so as we live with this gospel this week, we might go back to it and ask, just in your own dialogue with the scripture, what did the crowd see that day? What did they hear? What touched them? And what changed their own behavior from what they saw? Perhaps some of them had similar situations, knowing people that they were judging, condemning, and seeing that, wouldn't that change you if you were there on the scene? But that's why we listen to the gospel that is alive. Who do we condemn? Who do we judge? Who do we turn our backs on? The gospel is as alive for us today in 2022 in Corpus Christi, Texas, or wherever we are, as much as it was in those days in Jerusalem at the temple. Today, God wants mercy and not sacrifice. He doesn't want our holy actions. He loves them. Please don't stop them. But don't use that as a shield for doing judgment or condemning or other things against God or your neighbor. And so we can, in this fifth week, preparing for Holy Week next week, ask ourselves honestly, do I live in judgment of others, even one person, as close as a relative, a family member, a spouse, a child? Do I justify myself that I'm right because Jesus said, in my religious practice, is that a self-justification of me? Or have I discovered, can I discover, what mercy really means? What mercy really means? Have I ever sat down with someone in my family that perhaps has done something wrong or is doing something wrong? Am I able to go beyond my own personal feelings, my own judgments, my own self-righteousness, and simply listen to them without judgment, wanting what God wants for them, being that person of Jesus for them? That's who we're called to be. Have I discovered the power of that mercy and the fruitfulness of listening to other people? In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was sitting down and calling Matthew, the tax collector, to follow him. And he was sitting at the table with a bunch of sinners and tax collectors, and I'm sure they were having a good time. And the scribes and the Pharisees saw that. And they asked the disciples, why does your teacher sit with tax collectors and sinners? We don't do those things. And when he heard this, he said to them, those who are well do not need a physician, but sick people do. The sickness of sin, the sickness of being far away from God and far away from who a person really is, plagues many people in our society today. They need a doctor. the doctor of mercy, the doctor of forgiveness, the doctor who can listen and not just give them a quick remedy for their sins. Let's learn, as the people of God, as the disciples of Jesus Christ, to be medics, to be doctors, who can not just analyze a problem immediately, but can listen to the patient who describes what they're going through. Someone who does not judge and say, "You're going to be okay, go your way," but actually can show mercy and forgiveness. Jesus told those scribes and Pharisees at the table of Matthew, "Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" Let us profess our faith. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. One Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." The Lord calls us to a conversion, continual conversion, especially during this time of year. Let us pause and call to mind the prayers and the needs of others and offer those to the Father.
"For the church, that we may bring mercy and forgiveness to all, giving new life to sinners and showing the world alternatives to retribution and punishment, let us pray to the Lord."
Lord, hear our prayer.
"For those in authority, particular in our judicial system, that they may temper justice with mercy as they seek the common good, let us pray to the Lord."
Lord, hear our prayer.
"For those who will be welcomed into the church at Easter, that they may be a sign for all of us of the constant renewal of God's creation, let us pray to the Lord."
Lord, hear our prayer.
"That we ourselves may continue to fast, pray, and give alms, as the Lord guides us to do, and those habits may extend beyond this Lenten season, let us pray to the Lord."
Lord, hear our prayer.
"Especially for all those caught up in violence, remembering especially our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, that in this time of fear and conflict, they may know God's presence and peace, let us pray to the Lord."
Hear our prayer.
"For the eternal repose of the souls of Laura Victoria Vera, Frank Garza Jr., Maria Martinez, deceased members of the Hagelin family, Joan Brandon, and Soluna Riddle, let us pray to the Lord."
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all those prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these are personal needs. Let us pray to the Lord.
Merciful God, you stand always ready to reconcile with those who have strayed from you. Hear the prayers of us who are sinners, and grant what we need to be closer to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice of your hands, the praise and glory of his name, for our good and of all his holy Church.
Hear us, Almighty God, and having instilled in your servants the teachings of the Christian faith, graciously purify them by the working of this sacrifice, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you have given your children a sacred time, for the renewing and purifying of their hearts, that freed from disordered affections, they may so deal with the things of this passing world as to hold rather to the things that eternally endure. And so with the angels and saints we praise you, as without end we acclaim.
Thank you.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom and the power of the Lord is now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Do you want to drink from the chalice?
Sure.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. I am not worthy that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning to celebrate the Mass in Corpus Christi Cathedral. In the name of all the parishioners here and Father Pete Elizardo, our rector, myself, I want to wish you a very blessed Sunday with your family and friends. And let us continue to pray for one another and for the gift of peace in our world. God bless you and have a wonderful week.